Radio Network.
Family.
I heard about this company dumping toxins in local rivers, and I called their executives to say stop, but I never got through to anyone except secretary after secretary. In the meantime, the rivers are being destroyed, birds and fish are dying, and the local kids are getting sick with cancer. So I organized a huge protest, and we actually got the company shut down. And everyone starts celebrating until we realize that half the town's now unemployed. The welfare offices can barely handle the overload. People are being kicked out of their homes. And to top it all off, the rivers are still contaminated. The birds and fish are still dying. And most of the kids with cancer are twice as sick because they can't get the health care they need since their parents lost the health insurance they had when they worked for the company that dumped all the toxins in the first place.
Saving the world isn't easy, but saving a life is. And just one pint of blood can save up to 3 lives. Visit bloodsaves.com to learn more. This public service announcement was brought to you by the Ad Council.
Thank you for listening to the TalkStar Radio Network. For the finest and informative and interactive talk radio programming, it's the TalkStar Radio Network, available live via your local radio station and on the Internet at TalkStarRadio.com. Your feedback is important to us. Email us at TalkStarRadio.com.
And now, from Washington, the Inside Scoop. All the news the government does not want you to hear. Now, here's your host on the Inside Scoop, Mark Levine.
Good afternoon, America. Welcome to the Inside Scoop. It has been an amazing summer. A woman by the name of Cindy Sheehan has done the unthinkable. She has done the unimaginable. She has done something that Richard Clark and Condoleezza Rice, holding large papers showing the threat of the America to terrorists, were not able to do. Cindy Sheehan has actually managed to disrupt George Bush's vacation. It's really an amazing thing. I mean, again, remember back to August of 2001, Bush went on a vacation. Condoleezza Rice had documents saying bin Laden determined to attack within the United States. Would Bush disrupt his vacation? No, of course not. His vacation was too important for that. Nope. Richard Clark's warnings about the summer of threat, all the things going in. No, 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 that wouldn't disrupt George Bush's vacation. But a woman talking about her son, Casey Sheehan, who served in the military and died, she has actually managed to bring Bush out of his shell. No, he won't talk to her because he's got nothing to say to Cindy Sheehan. He can't justify his war. But he is out there. He's in Utah. He's in Idaho. He's in the reddest of the red states talking to the few people who still support him. And he's having a hard time finding them. The highest approval rating I've seen this week for George Bush is 40%, and it's gone as low as 36%. When only one-third of Americans approve of the president, he's got a difficult job. But he's going around, and the big thing he's selling right now, the Iraqi constitution. The Iraqis have agreed on a constitution, and he's praising it and comparing it to our founding fathers. Dick Cheney is out there. For all we know, Ahmed Chalabi is the same as George Washington in their strange world, a world of rose-colored glasses. So I thought that we should examine the Iraqi constitution, find out what was agreed to, what is the future of Iraq this week. And as always, you're welcome to call in and give your 2 cents. All you do is pick up the phone and dial 877-528-TALK, 877-528-8255. Let's look at some of the principles of this Iraqi constitution, which, as you probably have heard, has not been accepted by the Sunni Muslims of Iraq. There are 3 main groups in Iraq, the Shiites, the Sunnis, and the Kurds. The Sunnis pretty much control the country. Saddam Hussein was of the Sunni sect of Islam. But they don't control it anymore. They're unhappy, and they can't get the Sunnis to sign on to it. So it may be that Iraq is heading to civil war. I don't know. But what is this constitution that they agreed on that's so controversial the Sunnis can't accept it? The things that the Shiites and Kurds agreed to. Let's look at some of this constitution that almost 2,000 Americans have fought and died for. Pretty much 15,000, more than 15,000 wounded, tens of thousands of Iraqis. What have they died for? Well, the Constitution says Islam is the official religion of the state and is a basic source of legislation. Okay, so they fought for a theocracy. Americans fought and died to establish an Islamic state where there was none to begin with. Remember, Saddam Hussein, for all his viciousness, was a secular dictator. But I'm sure all those Christian and Jewish boys are happy that they fought and died to establish an Islamic theocracy. And, of course, we have Muslim American soldiers as well. Maybe they're happy about that. In any case, what the Constitution says, it says, quote, no law can be passed that contradicts the undisputed rules of Islam, unquote. Well, that's pretty clear. Islam rules. We have a theocracy. It'll be, I guess, as theocratic as Iran. And, well, that's just what the Iraqi people, at least the Shiites and the Kurds, decided, right? Well, let's read Section B of Article 2, which says, no law can be passed that contradicts the principles of democracy. Now, wait a minute. 2A says no law can be passed that contradicts the undisputed rules of Islam. And 2B says no law can be passed that contradicts the principles of democracy. So when democracy and Islam conflict, well, there's no discussion of that. Let's move on then to Article 2C, which says, quote, no law can be passed that contradicts the rights and basic freedoms outlined in this Constitution. Okay, you can't pass a law contradicting Islam, and you can't pass a law contradicting democracy, and you can't pass a law contradicting rights and basic freedoms in the Constitution. What laws can you pass? I mean, can you pass anything in there? And if they conflict, is there any answer? Well, let's read on. Let's find out more of this Constitution that they worked so hard to put together, even though, like I said, the Sunnis haven't agreed with it. They extended deadline after deadline to come up with this really powerful language. It begins with we the people, and it goes on to Article 17, which says that each person has the right to privacy. That's pretty cool. As long as it does not violate the rights of others or general morality. Did you get that? Article 17, I'm reading, folks, I'm not making this up. This is Article 17 of the new Iraqi Constitution. Each people has the right to privacy, each person has the right to privacy, as long as it does not violate the rights of others or general morality. What right to privacy is left then? Well, there's Article 36 that at least talks about freedom of expression, assembly, protest, and the press, as long as this freedom does not violate public order and morality. Did you get that? You can have freedom of expression and assembly and protest. You can get together and challenge your government as long as it doesn't violate public order and morality. Oh, and one more thing. The courts are open unless the court decides to make them secret. Sounds like a great constitution. Did the Iraqis decide anything? Let me know. 877-528-TALK. We'll be right back after this.
Sounds like they've got some work to do.
Yeah, sounds like they kind of punted on this test.
Cindy is a mother of three beautiful children and used to clean houses for a living to make ends meet. She found out about EasyBiz23.com. Her first month full-time, she earned $2,500. Her income increased about $1,000 per month, and now she earns $16,000 a month. Tori says before she started her own business, she worked 10 hours a day in a high-pressure job. She wore out her car commuting back and forth to work. Now she makes over $100,000 a year in her pajamas. Go online to find out more at EasyBiz23.com. Order a free, no-obligation work-from-home training package. Shipping not included. That's www.EasyBiz23.com. Tracy, a restaurant manager who came home to be a full-time mom, made $1,000 her first month and was earning $5,000 a month just 6 months in the business. Get free information now. Log on to EasyBiz23.com. That's EasyBiz, the number 23.com.
When I found out my jeans were made using child labor in sweatshops, I wrote a letter to the company saying, reconsider your labor practices. A few months later, I get a letter back saying, thanks for being a loyal customer, and they included a coupon for a 25% discount on their jeans. So I got smart, wrote letters every day to all the stores that carry the brand, asking them to stop supporting the companies who use child labor in sweatshops. And I just kept getting letters back, thanking me for my concerns, and more coupons for more discounts on more jeans. So I'm telling my friend about it, and she flips out, saying that between all the letters and coupons, some paper company cut down a small forest, driving off two indigenous tribes, hundreds of endangered animals, killing thousands of plant species, some of which may have contained vaccines for HIV, cancer, and syphilis. Meanwhile, the guys cutting down the trees are 13-year-old kids who will work night and day for months just to save up enough money to buy a pair of jeans made by child labor in sweatshops.
Sandy,
saving the world isn't easy, but saving a life is. Just one pint of blood can save up to 3 lives. Visit bloodsaves.com to learn more. This public service announcement was brought to you by the Ad Council.
From Washington, more of the Inside Scoop with Mark Levine.
Welcome back to the Inside Scoop. This is a Sunday weekly review. All topics are valid, but we're talking, of course, about Iraq because it's the summer that will be remembered as the summer that is the turning point where the majority of Americans have gone from supporting this war to realizing it was a colossal error and that it's time to bring the troops home. The administration is trotting out, everything they can. All these things. Remember when they trotted out the statue of Saddam Hussein coming down? Like that was a huge, wonderful, fantastic event. And only later did some of us learn, most of us never knew, that in fact that was a very focused shot on about 100 people and that in the larger town square our military was keeping away those that didn't agree with pulling that statue down. Then, of course, we had the president strutting around in his flight suit outfit on a aircraft carrier that said mission accomplished. An aircraft carrier, by the way, that was turned away from the California coast specifically so they could go out to sea so that no one would see that the carrier had California in the background and not Iraq. And then, of course, there was the big deal over sovereignty. We are turning over sovereignty to the Iraqi people, we said, as if that actually made them in control, as if they wouldn't notice that we still had 140,000 troops there or 14 permanent military bases, or that our oil companies were busy trying to grab oil and get profits there. In fact, you may remember, if you're real careful, that last year around this time, actually in the spring of 2004, there was another constitution signed by the Iraqi people that was praised by George Bush. It's the constitution that set up elections, and again, it was the turning point. Let me make a suggestion. Let me give some advice, if I can, to the people who run this government, Karl Rove and Dick Cheney, and maybe even to George Bush, though I realize he's not really in control right now. My advice is declare it a victory and get the heck out. All right, they've got their constitution. Don't mention the fact that the constitution contradicts itself. It should be called the Constitution. What do you think? Contradiction? I don't know. The fact that it says that you can't contradict Islam, you can't contradict democracy, you can't contradict basic rights and freedoms unless you can because it's against morality. Don't go into that. Don't mention that morality, at least by the head cleric in Iraq, the guy we're working with, Ayatollah Sistani, the good guy in Iraq, don't mention that he considers chess and backgammon to be sinful violations of morality. Don't mention that, in fact, banning chess and backgammon would take precedence over freedoms because that doesn't make you look good. And we all know that a civil war is probably around the corner. The Sunnis want to have a certain amount of power. The Kurds want a nation of their own. The Shiites are the majority. Get out, Bush. Get out. And then when they get out, hey, then if there's a civil war, it's the Iraqis' choice, right? It's their civil war. Let them decide what's going on. I'm not sure what the choice is here, but I do know that times have changed, and no one has probably changed it more than a woman by the name of Cindy Sheehan. Now, I know that the Republicans are attacking her mercilessly, but in the nature of their attacks, I think you can see what the problem is here, right? I mean, the fact that they are attacking her and not defending the Iraqi war tells you that there's nothing to defend. When even Republican Senator Chuck Hagel and Henry Kissinger, the author of Vietnam, are coming out against the Iraq war, there's nothing to defend. So, as with all the indefensible things, they go and they attack the messenger. When Richard Clark, who worked for several Republican administrations, points out all the reasons we should have known September 11th was around the corner, they attack him. When the 9/11 Commission comes, they attack Jamie Gorelick. When Paul O'Neill, Treasury Secretary, points out that there was a plan to invade Iraq 10 days after Bush became president in January 2001, they attack Paul O'Neill. He's just upset, the former Treasury Secretary. He's just upset because he didn't get the right job. Oh, okay. That's really the problem? Is that what it is? Oh, okay. So they're attacking Cindy Sheehan. They're attacking her personally. And really, that's all they can do. And yet, somehow, I think America is seeing that when you attack the woman of a dead soldier, maybe that's not the best strategy. Frankly, it kind of reminds me, and I am an historian, of going back to the era of Joe McCarthy. When Joe McCarthy was attacking some young army sergeant, fresh, you know, out of battle, calling him a communist, and Edward R. Murrow, even, was left to realize and to tell America that Joe McCarthy had gone too far. You had the Army Special Counsel saying, "Joe McCarthy, have you no shame?" And Edward R. Murrow pointing out that those of us who believe in this kind of rhetoric, the fault is not in the stars, but in ourselves, he said. We are reaching that reaction. We are reaching what in the French Revolution was called the Thermidorian reaction, where they killed so many people with the guillotine that people started to react from the blood. It's not that Cindy Sheehan is a miracle worker. She simply happened to be in the right place at the right time. She is a symbol of America turning against the war. And nowhere is that symbol clearer than the fact that Bush is on the ropes, that he had to disrupt his vacation, that he had to go to Idaho and Utah, places where the most overwhelming red states, and there defend the war. The fact that he's been trying to recruit his own mom, in fact, he got one, a woman by the name of Tammy Pruitt, a woman who has a soldier fighting in the war. But guess what? Tammy Pruitt's son is alive. Is Bush saying that in all the 2,000 fatalities, we're at 1,900, we'll be at 2,000 soon enough, in the almost 2,000 fatalities in the war in Iraq, Bush couldn't find a single mother in that 2,000 willing to defend the war? Not a single one? Boy, that's showing bankruptcy. Let me know what you think, though. I mean, am I wrong? Is this not the turning point in the Iraq War? Isn't it clear to you that even your Republican friends are saying, you know, maybe we should have fought Osama bin Laden and not Saddam Hussein? Let me know. 877-528-TALK, 877-528-8255. We'll be right back after this.
Sleepless nights, agonizing days. Don't let the stress of
I don't know what's going on, but they just started playing it. Take action.
Did they only? Well, you know what? Let's talk on the IM.
Okay, sure. Sure, I'm sorry.
Negotiators that work for you to get credit card companies to eliminate 50-60% of your credit card debt. Credit card companies make it hard for the average American to get out of debt. High interest rates and late fees keep you in a never-ending cycle of debt prison. Debt Relief of America helps you break free by wiping out up to 60% of your credit card debt using secret programs most credit card companies don't want you to know about.
I was buried in debt with no way of knowing how I was going to get out. DRA worked with my creditors and cut my debt in half.
Call now for your free debt relief consultation. There is absolutely no cost or obligation. Call 800-509-5495. 800-509-5495. One call could literally save you thousands of dollars. Not available in all states. 800-509-5495. 5495, 800-509-5495.
I know you've heard me talk about Margie Garrison, the arthritis lady, but have I told you about the time she was thrown out of an arthritis convention for telling the truth that most arthritis sufferers attending that convention didn't need the expensive and maybe dangerous drugs and treatments they were being sold? Man alive, did they hustle her out of there pronto? This might not work for absolutely everybody, but if you get Mrs. Garrison's program and give it a try for a year and it doesn't end up ending most of your pain, ask for your money back. Look it up for yourself online at healthstarproducts.com. That's H-E-A-L-T-H, healthstarproducts.com. See what the doctors are saying about Mrs. Garrison's program and if this works for you or a member of your family.
From Washington, back to the Inside Scoop with Mark Levine.
Welcome back to the Inside Scoop. We're discussing the great Iraqi constitution that Bush is proclaiming is such a wonderful thing. I don't know. It sounds to me like they didn't get much accomplished. We have these articles that say, I mean, Article 36, I guess, is my favorite. You have freedom of expression, assembly, protest, and the press, as long as the freedom doesn't violate public order and morality. You know, the Syrian constitution, in fact, the old Soviet constitution, the Chinese constitution, all of them also proclaim all kinds of equal rights, but they at least don't have an exception clause, right? I mean, the Soviet Union claimed, obviously Soviet Union doesn't exist anymore, claimed to have all these rights and freedoms. China continues to, Syria continues to, and they just ignore them. But Iraq says, you have freedom unless you don't. You have freedom as long as you don't, you know, play chess, because that's really dangerous, at least according to Ayatollah Sistani. So what is this wonderful thing that they've accomplished? I don't know, but I'm done. And Cindy Sheehan's done. And Senator Hagel is done. And Senator Feingold of Wisconsin is done. There's a Republican and a Democrat. But I think it's time for the rest of the Democrats to get on board. It's time for them to call for a target date to leave Iraq. Now, even I don't say that we should leave all our troops tomorrow in chaos. But if we start drawing down our troops, if we start set a target date, say, oh, before the November 06 elections, that might be good for members of Congress. Let's say get out by next September, a year from today, perhaps. Then I think that things may start going down. Because I'll tell you, everything's going up in Iraq right now. The number of insurgents going up, number of attacks going up, number of fatalities going up. Each and every month is worse than the month before. Number of wounded going up. The corruption in the Iraqi government is going up. And what's going down? Electricity, employment, even the oil. I mean, even the neocons who decided to invade Iraq for oil, right? There's no more. The oil's not flowing. It's not working. So even the reason that they had for going into Iraq isn't working. And what else is down? The American military. We may never destroy the Iraqi insurgents, but George Bush is doing a very good job of destroying the American military. Recruits are down to their lowest levels since we began a volunteer army. The National Guard, according to General Barry McAfee, in an article by Frank Rich, he writes, the National Guard has a meltdown. This is our general, McCaffrey, saying this. National Guard has a total meltdown and will come completely apart in 24 months. In 2 years, our National Guard will come apart. And now we're putting all this new money in an advertising campaign to get more recruits to fight in the military. And guess what they're not mentioning? They're not mentioning the war in Iraq. Are 18-year-olds that stupid? I don't think so. They know what's facing them. They know that they're not out fighting the terrorists who killed and murdered 3,000 Americans on September 11th. They're out trying to maintain order in a country that is likely going down to civil war. Meanwhile, what are we doing? We're freeing prisoners from Abu Ghraib. All the ones that we tortured so badly, we're freeing them. Well, I have a question. If they were innocent, why did we torture them? And if they were guilty, why are they freeing them? Is that such a difficult question for the administration to answer? If they're guilty, why are they freeing them? Why are we freeing them? And if they were innocent, why did we torture them? But apparently we've released 1,000 prisoners. That's a good thing. I guess I can't complain about a good thing. I sure hope they don't go and talk about how we tortured these innocent people. But Congress isn't focusing on Iraq. No. Congress, when they get back, you watch. What are they going to focus on? They're going to focus on cutting student loans, on cutting Medicaid. Because Republicans believe that Americans don't want loans to go to college. They don't want anything like that. I mean, students, they don't want government help to go to college. No way. If you have a lot of money, if you've got a sister, you know, if you're Paris Hilton, if your grandfather developed a hotel chain, you don't need money to go to college. And if you're too poor to go to college, well, the Republicans have an answer for you. You should be flipping burgers. Have you had a break today? You should be working for McDonald's. You don't need to go to college. College is only for the super rich. We need to understand, Republicans are saying, we live in a caste society. And it's really weird for Americans to get all uppity and think that middle-class Americans have a right to go to college. Republicans say no. Know your place. Know your status. That's what Republicans believe. Cut student loans because No rich person, no matter how wealthy, no matter how many billions of taxpayer dollars they get in corporate welfare, they shouldn't have to subsidize a middle-class kid going to college. No way at all. What do you think? 877-528-TALK, 877-528-8255. We'll be right back after this.
People are heading to high ground as Hurricane Katrina approaches. New Orleans bracing for the arrival of one of the most powerful hurricanes in history. Evacuees are packing Interstate 10 out of New Orleans as a Category 5 hurricane nears the Gulf Coast. Hurricane Katrina is one of the strongest storms ever seen. Its maximum sustained winds have been clocked at 165 miles an hour with higher gusts. The National Hurricane Center has labeled Katrina as potentially catastrophic. The winds picking up along the Gulf Coast near the Mississippi River. Landfall expected to occur sometime tomorrow morning. Iraq has drafted a constitution despite the opposition of Sunnis on Iraq's parliament. Iraq's president telling a news conference that he hopes the constitution would be accepted by all Iraqis. He added that the document could be changed later. He warned that terrorists could be expected to commit greater atrocities as the October vote on the constitution nears. More news at USAradio.com. I'm Jack DeRate.
The following from News Broadcast Network. Only half of adult Americans can correctly identify the three branches of government, and fewer than half can identify the meaning of the concept of separation of powers. Boston lawyer Michael Greco, the incoming ABA president, says a broader public understanding of basic civics has become especially important. Greco has appointed an ABA commission to enhance civics education in the U.S., especially regarding the separation of powers doctrine and an independent judiciary. I'm Lee Shepherd. The second UN-sponsored Pan-African Youth Summit brings together 200 youth leaders from the African continent. Dr. Jibril Diallo is chair of the UN Youth Summit series.
Sun Microsystems has become the corporate sponsor for the Youth Leadership Summit series to supply those technologies and tools.
Dr. Diallo says access to technology is crucial to engaging and connecting young people. I'm Lee Shepherd.
I'm Dr. Gabe Merkin, author of The Healthy Heart Miracle. Are you afraid that you'll become shorter as you grow older? Men who exercise regularly lose only half as much height as men who never exercise, just 2.6 centimeters compared to 5.5 centimeters. The bones of your spine are separated by pads called discs. As you age, these discs dry out and become smaller. However, regular exercise compresses and relaxes these discs as you pop up and down. This helps to keep the disc from shrinking and maintains your height. Regular exercise also helps to strengthen bones and keep them from bending to make you shorter also. So if you've not started exercising to prevent heart attacks, diabetes, high blood pressure, high cholesterol, loss of mental function, and feeling good, exercise to help you stand taller as you grow older. For more information, go to HealthyHeartMiracle.com.
From Washington, more of the Inside Scoop with Mark Levine.
Welcome back to the Inside Scoop. It was just 3 years ago this month, in August 2002, that Bush planned to go to war in Iraq. But Andy Card, the chief of staff at that time, 3 years ago, said you can't bring out a new product in August. So they waited till September to sell us the war in Iraq. And 3 years later, there are only 3,000 Iraqi troops that are ready to fight for their country. We have 138,000 troops there. So they got about 1,000 a year ready. At this rate, folks, it'll only be 135 years until we can leave Iraq. Toll-free number, 877-528-TALK, 877-528-8255. Tracy in San Diego, welcome to the Inside Scoop.
Hi. I just think that you missed something on your last point that you were making about cutting student loans.
Yes.
I think they're doing that so not that people can go to work at McDonald's, but so people will join the military.
Well, you're right. You're right. Join the military or other jobs that are... I tell you, Tracy, I don't know if you're on a cell phone. It's kind of hard to hear you. Okay, you know what? Can you get to a landline and call us back?
Okay, thanks.
Thanks so much. I hope you'll call back. Sorry about that. I know it's just hard to hear. Let me go to Ken in San Diego. Ken, welcome to the Inside Scoop.
Mark, how are you doing?
I'm doing good. How are you?
Not too bad. One other thing, I mean, definitely the point that you've heard the first caller made was that basically cutting student loans is sort of like a recruitment for the military. But I'm wondering if anybody has thought about the fact that those 1,000 prisoners that they just let out of Abu Ghraib, basically they've just bolstered the insurgents by 1,000 people.
Well, you know, it's hard to know, frankly, who these people are. There's been so much secrecy here. If they really are terrorists, I mean, if they're people who are out to kill civilians and so forth, then you're right, and I don't know why they let them free. And if they are innocent people, and one Red Cross study said that about 80% of those people in Abu Ghraib are innocent, if they're innocent and we tortured them, then they can go back to Iraq and tell them about the brutality of U.S. troops. So, but again, I don't know what else you do. I mean, they're there. Most of them are innocent. You know, I think it's good that we release them. It's just that it's weird because the administration is doing it very quietly, and they can't seem to explain, you know, what it is.
Well, I think it would even, not that anything I think can help, but I think it might go a little way if someone from the State Department, from this administration, would say, we made a huge mistake. The majority of the people that we held, we didn't know who they were. So we held them and, unfortunately, tortured them to be on the safe side. Not that that's even
Ken, wait a minute,
that's
going to fly. You're suggesting honesty from the administration?
Well,
I mean, have you been watching this administration? Bush being honest to the American people? I mean, true, it's a tact they've never tried, and I guess they've tried everything else.
It would totally throw everybody off guard. It would totally throw them off guard. And the Democrats, not saying that they know what to do right now, but they would not know what to do. I mean, this is a bully pulpit for anyone in the Democratic Party who has any sense to ask the questions that you just asked. If these people were terrorists, why are we letting them out? And if they were terrorists, why were we torturing them?
You know,
put that question out there, and I doubt if anyone from the Republican Party would even attempt to try to answer the question.
It seems like such a simple question.
The question.
Well, you know, I just like to see the press ask questions like these. You know, the press, when Traitorgate came, there was this brief flurry where they actually point out that, yes, the administration had been lying to them. And these were provable lies. You know, it was hard to prove some of the other lies. They told them about the war in Iraq because they came a year later. They said that Iraq had nuclear weapons, and we couldn't prove that they didn't till a year later. But where they had Scott McClellan on the ropes lying about Karl Rove's involvement in Traitorgate, there was that one beautiful press conference that I played extensively on this show. And now they're all quiet again. I don't know whether it's August and everyone's on vacation, but you don't see these questions in the press much.
Can I just ask, I've been trying to sort of get my mind around this. What has happened to the media? I mean, what happened to I'm going to just bring out the names, but the Sam Donaldsons of the past who would throw a president into a frenzy thinking that he was going to actually have to answer a question from a reporter that would not let him leave the podium until he got an answer. And if they didn't get an answer, then it was going to be on the nightly news until someone explained what was going on. And it's depressing, and it's demotivating to think that it's not whether it's Democratic or Republican, neocon or liberal, the media is supposed to be the voice of the people. They are supposed to ask the questions that we as ordinary citizens cannot ask. I don't get to ask the president about Abu Ghraib. I don't get to ask the president why Karl Rove is dropping the names of Central Intelligence agents to the press. I don't get to ask those questions. So why aren't they? They're supposed to be out there for us, the regular people.
That's a great point. You know, many of the founders called the press the fourth branch of government because they're the branch that's supposed to watch all the other three. And yet we see that one mother, Cindy Sheehan, was able to accomplish what apparently none of the whole national press was. That is to really raise to America's attention, what about the questions? You know, why are we in Iraq? These basic questions. Why did my son die? And she apparently was able to get a focus where the media wasn't. You know, it's a great question, what happened to the media. I think there are a lot of answers. One is, obviously, there's a consolidation. And it's not often talked about, but you have, you know, GE owns one network and Disney owns another. And so you have these big corporations that are buying up the networks in radio and in TV. There's consolidation, Sinclair Broadcasting Company. So there's fewer independent news sources, for one thing. Even the Gannett news chain is buying up local newspapers so that your local newspaper becomes Mick News, USA Today,
right,
and instead of a real newspaper. So there's consolidation. That's one of the reasons. But another reason, I think, is that the Republicans have managed quite successfully to get this canard out about the liberal media and to suggest that the media is somehow liberal, which, of course, is clearly false, as the fact that they can call it the liberal media tells you that conservatives are in control, because you don't hear many voices talking and saying exactly what you said right here, Ken. And so
right.
I think you find news bending over backwards. I mean, we already have the Fox Propaganda Channel. Everyone knows about that. But now you have even MSNBC and PBS even hiring the likes of Tucker Carlson and conservatives, because news organizations are no more presenting the news, the facts. They are presenting opinion only, and generally only right-wing opinion, because it's interesting. For the conservatives, telling the truth is left-wing, and so they need the right-wing, and that's what fair and balanced is. You know, half is the truth and half is right-wing, instead of just broadcasting the truth. There was a time when the media would say, you know, the president has said this, and it is false. And we need more media to say that. And sometimes they can be denied White House access. One of the clearest examples, by the way, of a veteran reporter who's done such a tremendous job is Helen Thomas. She was the dean of the White House press crew. I don't know. I'm sure she's in her 80s, if not older, but she's doing quite well. She dates back to the Eisenhower era. And as the eldest member of the press corps, she was always the one that was asked questions first. And Helen Thomas, and this is something that's gotten no press, though I reported it on my show, Helen Thomas pressed Scott McClellan really hard 2 years ago about George Bush being AWOL, because the documents, not the forged ones that the Republicans focused on, but the actual AWOL documents, which, by the way, are on my website at radioinsidescoop.com, they're uncontradictable that George Bush violated a direct order to show up. He simply didn't show up. And she pressed Scott McClellan really hard about that, and ever since then, they don't call on Helen Thomas.
Yeah, but the thing is, I'm wondering, and then that goes to another point that no one has even asked about, and this goes more to even, I think, a question of basic security, that Jeff Gannon, a male prostitute, who had if I believe I'm correct in saying this, used a false Social Security number fake identity, and managed to get access to the White House press room. And ask questions of the president when venerable members of the media like Helen Thomas passed over.
The reason, Ken, is because he asked the questions the president wanted to hear. Stick with me, Ken. I got to take a break. But if anyone else wants to call in, the toll-free number is 877-528-TALK, 877-528-8255. We'll be right back after this.
If you've got kids, chances are sooner or later you're going to need dental help. And when you do, I hope you'll remember 1995dental.com. 1995dental.com tells you how to save about 50% on braces for your kids, similar savings on other services. Because this isn't insurance, there is no waiting period, no exclusion, no claim forms to fill out. You get instant savings from tens of thousands of dentists coast to coast. Unlike a lot of insurance policies, this discount program covers cosmetic dentistry, bonding, and cleaning. For the individual, it's $11.95 a month. But for the entire family, everyone who lives under your roof, regardless of age or relationship, it's $19.95 a month. Hence our name, 1995dental.com. Type in the numbers 1995, then the word dental.com. 1995dental.com will save you.
Want to know how a bad toupee saved a young executive from baldness? Bobby started losing his hair in his 20s. He was athletic, strong, and had begun his family, yet his confidence dwindled with his hair loss. So he tried a toupee. They promised it would look like real hair. What he got was itchy and unnatural. Then he decided to do research on hair loss. He found out he could get his own natural hair to grow back. He interviewed the doctors and other medical hair restoration clients, and he was amazed at the results. Now, for the happy ending, Bobby looks incredible. He says MHR changed his attitude in life. If you're losing your hair, don't spend a penny until you get the free interactive DVD from Medical Hair Restoration to learn about the natural options. See real life before and after pictures and get the full story on getting your real hair back. Call to order your free DVD now. There is no obligation. Call 800-936-2823. 800-936-2823. For an amazing free DVD, call now. 800-936-2823. From Washington, back to the Inside Scoop with Mark Levine.
Welcome back to the Inside Scoop. This is the Sunday Weekly Review on the Inside Scoop. All topics are valid. We've been talking about the Iraqi Constitution, which isn't much of a document in my opinion, and about the way that the American people are starting to realize, the majority now, the huge blunder of going into Iraq and the blunder of staying there. We've talked about how the Republicans plan to cut student loans. Watch this story, by the way, folks, because it won't get a lot of media attention. But as soon as they come back, it's one of the first things they're going to cut. They're going to cut Medicaid, too. Mark my words. That's why I'm in Washington. I'm watching these things, so you don't have to. And my caller, Ken from San Diego, is talking about the perennial problem, and that is conservative control of the press. We were talking about how it is that Jeff Gannon, a male prostitute, can use fake names and get in while veteran reporter Helen Thomas has trouble answering questions. And the answer, Ken, as I'm sure you know, is that this is a president who doesn't like tough questions. When he goes out to sell his Social Security plan, he refuses to have any of the majority of Americans who don't like it. Instead, he invites only people who already support what he's saying and invites them to clap. And it reminds me nothing so much as the former Soviet Union, which also had only reporters that asked favorable questions, and they only appeared before audiences that would clap and cheer. And it's interesting that for a party, the Republican Party, that is so proud of beating the former Soviet Union, their leader is bringing us back to that kind of government. Ken, I'll give you the last word, then I got to move on.
Well, again, I just want to say that I love your show, and I'm just hoping that I don't know what the answer is going to be. I'll say that I am a Democrat, big D, small d, liberal, whatever, you know, the Republicans choose to define me as.
You can define yourself, Ken. Don't let them define you.
Which is my point, but it's sort of depressing to think that there's no one in the Democratic Party that I can look to that I would say I would be willing to vote for in 2008. I doubt very much that I would vote for Hillary Clinton just because she may be the only option. I want someone who is going to give me hope.
People want inspiration.
Yeah,
no, you're right. People want inspiration. And that's something, frankly, that Bill Clinton gave us.
Yeah.
And I'm hoping, and again, I'm not saying that I'm supporting Hillary either. We'll see who runs. But I'm hoping that some of the magic of Bill Clinton will rub off on his wife. That she's clearly a very intelligent person. But some of that inspiration and hope and charisma that he has, hopefully, you know, when Bill Clinton ran for office, he said, you're not just getting me, you're getting two of us. And people attacked him. How dare you say the First Lady would have that kind of power? I think if Hillary Clinton were to make the same argument and say, look, you can't reelect Bill Clinton, there's the 22nd Amendment, but if you elect me, you know I'll be listening to this guy. I trust and respect this guy. He was a great president, and he'll definitely be whispering in my ear. If people think they're actually getting Bill Clinton back in the White House, I think she can win in a landslide in 2008. But
I think Bill Clinton would actually make a great first gentleman. So.
I think he would too, as well as a great advisor to the new president. Thanks for your call, Ken. I appreciate
Thanks.
It. Let me go now to Barbara in Vista, California. Barbara, welcome to the Inside
yes,
Scoop.
Hi there. You have a wonderful show, and I wish you were on more than just Sunday afternoons.
you really should be given more time.
Well, I appreciate that. I'm actually on the Talkstar Radio Network weekdays as well. And
unfortunately, we don't get you in San Diego.
Well, you can call KLSD and ask them to carry me during the weekdays. That would be great. But in the meantime, you can go to talkstarradio.com or my website, mm-hmm. radioinsidescoop.com, and you can hear my show during the week, and I hope you'll check it out.
Yes, I will. I did want to add something about the media.
Please.
It seems to me that the media, this is the most dangerous thing that the Republicans now control. They control every branch of government. They control the executive branch, the legislative, and if Roberts is confirmed, they will control the judiciary. However, they also control the media. And whoever controls the media controls the minds of the people. And unfortunately, this is becoming a dictatorship. It's really a fascistic regime in the sense that fascism, dictionary definition, an extreme right-wing government controlled by big business with a belligerent foreign policy. And this is exactly what we have. So the people who don't read, 40% of Americans read, according to the NEA's last poll. People who just
40%?
Watch, 40% is
wow.
going down.
Yikes.
Is going down. And so if they accept everything and they believe everything they hear, you know, on TV, then, well, we're lost. How can we as a democratic nation, you know, offset all of this? I mean, there was a book written by Sinclair Lewis in 1939 called It Can't Happen Here. It was a novel in which the United States was taken over by a fascistic dictatorship. And the people fell for all the lies and because they control the media. It's interesting. It is happening here, and it's very, very frightening to anyone with half a brain who sees what's been going on. I mean, my husband and I were on the anti-war picket lines way before he attacked in Iraq. We saw what he was doing. We saw what was going on. We've read the plan for the New American Century by what I call you call them the neocons. I call them the con artists.
Right.
And we saw. We knew what was going on. I never in my wildest dreams thought that I would live. You know, Sinclair Lewis's book, and I feel I am living it. And I don't see how we're ever going to wrest control of this country back from this theocratic dictatorship that we have.
Well, Barbara, let me give you some hope, if I can. I agree we're at sort of the nadir. We're at the bottom. You're right. The executive branch, both houses of Congress, seven of the nine justices were appointed by Republicans, and it's going to move even farther to the right with John Roberts. And you're absolutely right about the press, though I should say that there is hope in the new technology, in the blogs, in radio shows like my own, in Air America, which has only existed a year, and my radio show, which existed 2 years, right here on the Talkstar Radio Network. When we come back, and I want you to stick around, Barbara, if you can,
mm-hmm.
I want to tell you why I see reasons for hope more this summer, more this month than I have in the entire 5 years of this horrible presidency. If you want to call in, 877-528-TALK. We'll be right back after this.
Mutual of Omaha's Wild Kingdom, the television show that America grew up watching, now available on DVD. 20 episodes are yours for just $29.99. That's the money-saving price if you order online from RetroTelevision.com. RetroTelevision.com. Wild Kingdom, featuring Marlon Perkins and all the regular features that made this show a favorite family watching habit. Sorry, phone orders are not available at this low price of $29.99 for 20 episodes. Order this set now and get 3 episodes with famed primate researcher Diana Fossey from Gorillas in the Mist. Order from RetroTelevision.com or go to www.TalkStarRadio.com. Save 25% with the online offering Wild Kingdom from RetroTelevision.com and TalkStar Radio.
I heard about this company dumping toxins in local rivers, and I called their executives to say stop, but I never got through to anyone except secretary after secretary. In the meantime, the rivers are being destroyed, birds and fish are dying, and the local kids are getting sick with cancer. So I organized a huge protest, and we actually got the company shut down. And everyone starts celebrating until we realize that half the town's now unemployed. The welfare offices can barely handle the overload. People are being kicked out of their homes, and to top it all off, the rivers are still contaminated. The birds and fish are still dying, and most of the kids with cancer are twice as sick because they can't get the health care they need since their parents lost the health insurance they had when they worked for the company that dumped all the toxins in the first place.
Saving the world isn't easy, but saving a life is. And just one pint of blood can save up to 3 lives. Visit bloodsaves.com to learn more. This public service announcement was brought to you by the Ad Council.
From Washington, more of the Inside Scoop with Mark Levine.
Welcome back to the Inside Scoop. This is the Sunday Weekly Review, and my caller on the line, Barbara from Vista, California, has said some pretty depressing things about this government, and I share her concern, but I don't know. I see a silver line to this cloud. They say it's darkest before dawn. I really think we are seeing, just this summer, just this month, a turnaround like we've never seen before, like we certainly didn't see before the last elections. We have Bush's presidential approval rating at 36%. Now, that is a dramatic low. That is really just the hardcore Republicans. And it's not just Democrats. It's not just Cindy Sheehan. When Chuck Hagel of Nebraska, when a Republican of Nebraska is saying it's time for us to get out of Iraq, when Henry Kissinger, and I am not praising Henry Kissinger, he's the architect of so many awful things in the Nixon era, particularly the war in Vietnam, when even he sees that Iraq is a mistake, when Americans, I think, are starting to see all the corruption in our government with the huge amount of giveaways and the energy bill, and when Bush comes back and, tone deaf, the Republicans start to cut student loans, start to cut Medicaid, I think it's all, maybe I'm just an eternal optimist, Barbara, but I really think we are at the darkest point before dawn, and I think you're going to see big dramatic gains for the Democrats in November 06. Have I given you any hope?
Yes, you've given me hope, and I do feel that the Democrats, all they have to say in 2006 is this. You allow the Republicans to control our legislature, our Senate and our House, and those of you who you see Social Security will be destroyed, because that's the first thing he'll do. He'll just pass, if they put more Republicans into the House and the Senate, that's the end of Social Security. But not only that, I do feel, though, that what will awaken most Americans will be an economic depression. And I do predict that if your housing bubble bursts, and if the oil prices keep going up, and the interest rates keep going up, and with the new bankruptcy law that you have, you right. will find that when it hurts, Americans don't seem to wake up, don't seem to react, and or even realize what their own self-interest is. That's the worst part. The ones who support pushdowns in the southern states, in the red states, so many of them are low-income and low-middle-class people who are being adversely affected in every way, shape, and form by his economic policies, and they support him, you know, 100%. They don't even realize how they're being hurt and what their own economic interests are.
Well, I think
but once
they do
you
it,
hit
Barbara.
The Americans in the pocketbook, yeah. and you make them bleed and suffer, and they lose their houses and they're on the streets, maybe then, and then I wonder if that will awaken some of them.
Well, I think,
I
Barbara,
hope it will.
The hardcore of Bush's support is a theocracy. It is people who support a fundamentalist Christian view, and I don't mean to even say that all fundamentalist Christians, but there are Americans who want their own theocracy in this country. They want the government to tell us what religion to practice, and they're going to be hardcore supporters for Bush, and it doesn't matter how poor they are, it doesn't matter how bankrupt, how much they don't have a job, they're going to put that interest, their theocratic interest, over their economic interest. But I'll tell you, they are not the majority of Americans, and I think, like I said, you're going to see big gains in 06. Thanks for your call, Barbara.
You're welcome. Bye.
We have some other callers on the line. I want you to stick on with me. The show is 2 hours long. In San Diego, you're only hearing the first hour, but I have good news for you folks at KLSD. KLSD has agreed to take the second hour of the Inside Scoop starting either next week or the week thereafter. You will get both hours of the Inside Scoop, so I hope you will stick around for that. And those of you that are on the line, stick around for the second hour. I do very much want to hear from you. It's a Sunday Weekly Review. All topics are valid. The toll-free number is 877-528-TALK, 877-528-8255. And when we come back, I will definitely take your calls. I also want to read some comments on the blog. If you don't want to call in and you want to write, it's easy to do. Just go to your computer and go to www.radioinsidescoop.com. We'll be back with another hour of the Inside Scoop right after these messages.
website. It was NBD.
Kids are spending more and more time online. And even if you heard what they're typing, you probably wouldn't know what they're saying.
Some PPL. Whatever. ISS.
They chat online in a language full of acronyms. And unless you use it every day, you won't understand it.
YIWGP.
You won't know what they're saying or who they're saying it to. A lot of times, neither do they. Last year, 1 in 5 children was sexually solicited online. So here's an acronym for you. HDOP. Help delete online predators. To protect your kids' online life and to get a full list of acronyms kids are using, call 1-800-THE-LOST or visit cybertipline.com. A message from the National Center for Missing and Exploited Children and the Ad Council.
USA Radio Network News. I'm Jack DeRate reporting.
This is going to be perhaps a historic event and unfortunately a potentially catastrophic event for the landfall area.
Ed Rappaport with the National Hurricane Center. Mandatory evacuations in effect in New Orleans as Hurricane Katrina roars towards the Gulf Coast. Katrina is now a Category 5 hurricane with winds at approximately 165 to 175 miles per hour. Mayor Ray Nagin says the storm will likely topple the levee system and all area residents should leave the city. He says those unable to relocate can find refuge in the Louisiana Superdome and 9 other designated places. Lieutenant Colonel Bill Doran with the Louisiana Office of Emergency Preparedness says the priority calls for making sure people do leave as soon as possible.
Our main thing is getting those folks out of the harm's way with some mandatory evacuations in most of the parishes in the affected area.
Evacuees have been urged to avoid the gridlock on I-10 out of the city. New Orleans residents with special needs are urged to head to the Louisiana Superdome, which is serving as a giant shelter. The big hurricane making history of sorts as it churns towards the Gulf Coast, sparking mass evacuations. Until now, 1969's Hurricane Camille was the largest and most destructive storm to hit New Orleans. You're listening to USA Radio Network News.
Say the words, the civil rights movement, and many iconic images come quickly and readily to mind. Thurgood Marshall arguing before the U.S. Supreme Court. Martin Luther King's dream shining off the reflecting pool in the capital of a strongly divided nation. Rosa Parks refusing to move to the back of the bus. The Little Rock Nine, the courage of the Freedom Riders. On August 30th, these historic images will be immortalized in a 10-stamp series entitled In Order to Form a More Perfect Union, as the United States Postal Service commemorates the 40th anniversary of the Voting Rights Act. Susan LaChance is the Postal Service Vice President of Employee Development and Diversity.
The Postal Service remains committed to educating and informing America and the world about the many achievements and contributions of African Americans.
The unveiling of the stamps will take place at ceremonies in 8 U.S. cities that served as the prime battlefields in the fight for racial and social equality.
There is gridlock on I-10 in Louisiana as people flee the Gulf Coast ahead of Hurricane Katrina. Reporter Dave Brannon says the lanes are full even though all traffic is moving westbound.
I-10 is the major east-west route, and they have a contraflow system underway which utilizes both east and west lanes to go westbound during this particular evacuation period. And that will continue until about 6 hours before the Hurricane Katrina makes landfall.
Hundreds of thousands of people ordered to evacuate the Crescent City. President Bush applauding Iraqi leaders for drafting a new constitution.
In coming months, Iraqis will discuss and debate the draft constitution. On October the 15th, they will vote in a national referendum to decide whether to ratify the constitution and set the foundation for a permanent Iraqi government.
The president making his comments from his ranch in Crawford, Texas. You're listening to USA Radio Network News.
I can save you $300 on your electric bill. Hi, I'm David Orrick. My 8-pound hotel vacuum is so efficient that over its anticipated life, you can save about $300 on your electric bill compared to all those heavy vacs. $300 savings make Orrick one of the best buys in America. I'll send you one to use free for 30 days. Call 1-800-989-4200. 1-800-989-4200. Your carpets will look like new, and your electric meter will barely budge.
More than 20 people have been wounded in a suicide bombing in southern Israel. No one's claimed responsibility for the blast in Be'er Sheba. The bomb went off at the entrance to the town's central bus station. Israeli police say the bomber tried to board a bus, but fled after the driver became suspicious. He blew himself up as he was being chased by two security guards who were seriously hurt in the blast. Northwest Airlines says replacement workers have caught up on the backlog of maintenance work the carrier was left with when the mechanics' strike began. Northwest Operations Vice President Andy Roberts.
The workforce that we have in place today are more than capable of keeping up.
Labor leaders say it's only a matter of time before the replacement workers can't keep up with the workload. Roberts responds, I'm afraid they're wrong. More news at USARadio.com. I'm Jack DeRate reporting on the USA Radio Network.
Born with a rare birth defect, Elena had little chance of ever walking until her family found help and hope at a Shriners hospital. Today, Elena is an unstoppable six-year-old. Shriners combine expert orthopedic spinal cord and burn medical care with world-class research and teaching programs, and there's never a charge. There's a Shriners hospital helping kids from this area. If you know a child they could help, call 1-800-237-5055 for more information. Shriners, having fun and helping kids.
Dad, can I ask you something?
Sure.
There's this girl I kind of like.
Say no more.
You just have to impress her. Okay, but how?
Just, I don't know, pick up a lot of heavy things around her.
Like what?
You know, desks, chairs, people. Grunt if you have to.
Grunt?
Yeah, be like, There you go.
You don't have to be perfect to be a perfect parent. When you adopt a child from foster care, just being there makes all the difference. To learn more, call 1-888-200-4005. A public service announcement brought to you by Adopt U.S. Kids, the U.S. Department of Health and Human Services, and the Ad Council.
Thank you for listening to the TalkStar Radio Network. For the finest and informative and interactive talk radio programming, it's the TalkStar Radio Network, available live via your local radio station and on the Internet at TalkStarRadio.com. Your feedback is important to us. Email us at TalkStarRadio.com.
And now, from Washington, the Inside Scoop. All the news the government does not want you to hear. Now, here's your host on the Inside Scoop, Mark Levine.
Welcome back to the second hour of the Inside Scoop. I am your host, Mark Levine. This is the Sunday Weekly Review. All topics are valid. The toll-free number is 877-528-8255. 877-528-TALK, right here on the TalkStar Radio Network. And I have to say, I am seeing a turn. I am seeing a turn in our national politics, in the war in Iraq, in understanding of this Bush administration. Maybe I'm just a perennial optimist, but I think this summer will go down as the bottom point in the Bush administration. This is the end for them, and I think that I think Republicans even are starting to see it. That's why they're retreating from the president in so many ways. And I expect a big Democratic victory in November 06. But, you know, I'm a perennial optimist, so I want to see what you callers think. 877-528-TALK, 877-528-8255. I want to go to Pam in Los Angeles. Pam, welcome to the Inside Scoop.
Hey, Mark. I'm actually driving back up to Los Angeles from San Diego, having completed the National Stonewall Democrats Convention. And I want to tell you, our convention was spectacular. I know you're happy to hear that, and all Americans are happy to hear about free-minded thinking. But I wanted to talk about John Roberts and also the impact of what the Supreme Court choice is going to have overall on our nation, either way, with it going whether or not he's confirmed or not confirmed.
Go right ahead.
Issues, and I've actually been reading Mr. Roberts, and I don't like calling him Judge Roberts. I just don't like the fact he's even a current judge. But I've been reading his memos, and one of the areas that he writes so much about is the powers of the president, the executive powers and war powers. And let me tell you, without a doubt, this man is going to give George Bush every power that he wants when it comes to declaring war without congressional consent, when it comes to committing troops, when it comes to spending money for war, when it comes to thwarting Congress, when it comes to prisoners. This man is going to be doing it, in addition to many other, so many other civil rights issues. But I just think that once this is exposed to the American public, given the issues that we're now facing with the Iraqi war and President Bush having lied to people, out and out lied, I think the American public is going to see through it. And even if John Roberts is confirmed, which, of course, I do everything I can to keep him from getting confirmed, even if he's confirmed, I think that the Republican senators are going to pay the price for that one.
Pam, I want you to back up a bit and explain exactly what memos that you read, when were they written, what was Roberts doing at the time, and what were the kind of the memos? Because sometimes people get all kinds of rhetoric out there. I'd like to give people the hard evidence. What have you read?
Okay. I have actually seen with my own eyes. I was up at the Reagan Library doing the research on John Roberts when he was Assistant White House Counsel. So what they are memos that he prepared as a part of the White House Counsel's office to Reagan and in the Reagan administration. And what differentiates a great majority of these memos, the rhetoric that the Bush administration is putting out, is unlike his opinions as a judge, where basically he's kind of a little bit more even representing what appears to be an unbiased opinion. Many of the memos actually say the key operative pronoun, I believe, I think, I'm advocating.
Now, that's interesting because
speaking in his own voice.
Because Roberts has claimed that when he was working as White House counsel, he was simply giving the positions of the Reagan administration, so he can't be held accountable for what he said there. You're saying that he's giving his own opinion, not the administration's necessarily.
I don't know how he can get around saying, I advocate this or I believe that. How can he say that that's actually an opinion of the White House? That's his own opinion. And it's in many, many of the memos where he's actually talking in his own head, in his own voice, advocating for the White House. And yes, there are times, of course, where he's taking the administration position. But while in the White House, he absolutely, probably at least in 25% of the time, I'd say, he was actually, when he was writing any memos of significance, he was writing in his own voice.
Well, give me an example, if you can, of something that occurred during the Reagan administration that Roberts wrote about, in particular in regards to presidential war powers.
Well, for example, just his opinions when it came to the I'm actually driving, so I don't
know. No, I understand you don't have them in front of you.
When
I understand.
It came to invasion of Grenada.
Right.
I don't know that you used the I in that, but when it also came to the ability of the president to be able to commit troops, he writes extensively, basically in his own voice on that, giving his opinion that the president ought to be able to do that. He can't be giving an opinion of the president actually representing the White House when he's actually advocating something. That makes no sense. What he's doing is saying, I believe, here's my interpretation of the law.
Pam, I'll tell you, when I remember back in the invasion of Grenada, and actually I've talked with some people about it who are involved in that in the White House. I won't give away my sources. But what they tell me is that Ronald Reagan decided to invade Grenada first, and then while our troops were busy occupying the islands, already there, he said, quick, to the legal counsel's office, get me some justification for what I've already done. And then they came up with an obscure Eastern Caribbean treaty, and I know the people that did that. Stick on with me, Pam. I want to continue to talk about John Roberts. Specifically, you mentioned the Stonewall Convention. I want to talk about him and gay rights, because some say he's been pretty good on gay rights, and yet Stonewall, I understand, is against him. I want to find out why. We'll be right back after this.
It's bad enough if you suffer asthma, but as a parent, the agony of watching your child struggling for breath must be agony beyond measure. What if there was a natural, effective, drug-free answer to asthma? You'd want to know, wouldn't you? Well, I've been reading up on a little-known clinical trial at a major hospital that suggests you can be rid of asthma, asthma symptoms, and sinus and allergy symptoms to breathe easily, calmly, and in a more natural, relaxed way. It's guaranteed, or you get your money back, and you've got 90 days to decide. Look it up for yourself online at healthstarproducts.com. H-E-A-L-T-H, healthstarproducts.com. You've got 90 days to decide if this program works for you. If it doesn't, you get your money back. Go to www.healthstarproducts.com.
Do you know what women want? If you're losing your hair, here are two things guaranteed to turn them off: a toupee or that hairsprayed comb-over look. But you hate your hair loss and you want it to change. That's where the new interactive and absolutely free DVD from Medical Hair Restoration can help. Various gurus for hair loss flood radio and TV airwaves. But the first question to consider is what has been scientifically and medically proven. Founded by Dr. Matt Levitt, Medical Hair Restoration has specialized in hair loss for over 11 years. With literally thousands of satisfied patients, you deserve to get your copy of their free DVD and find out the answers to your questions about restoring your hair to its natural, attractive condition. See the amazing before and after pictures of people who have gotten their real hair, self-esteem, and confidence back. Call to order your free DVD now. There is no obligation, just real results. You know what women want? To run their fingers through your real hair. Call 800-936-2823, 800-936-2823. For an amazing free DVD, call now, 800-936-2823. From Washington, back to the Inside Scoop with Mark Levine.
Welcome back to the Inside Scoop and the Sunday Weekly Review. All topics are valid. You can get your 2 cents in by dialing 877-528-TALK, 877-528-8255. I'm talking now with caller Pam in Los Angeles about John Roberts, who, of course, has been appointed by George Bush to the Supreme Court. The hearings on Roberts' nomination will begin in earnest in September. Bush is hoping for a quick nomination. I myself have taken no position as of yet on John Roberts' nomination. I'm waiting to hear what he has to say during his nomination. But one of the questions I have for Pam, I know Pam is affiliated with Stonewall Democrats, and I want to explain to you, because some of you folks may not know what that is. The Stonewall Democrats is an organization of the Democratic Party that stands up for gay rights. It's named after the Stonewall Inn, in fact, where there was the first riot by gay people back in the 60s to protest against police who were preventing them from meeting in their bars and so forth. But Stonewall Democratic Club advocates for the Democratic Party and for gay rights. And what's interesting is they've come out full square against the Roberts nomination. And the reason it's interesting is because there are Republicans who are leery of Roberts because they consider him pro-gay. And the reason for that is it came out recently that John Roberts helped some of the gay organizations that were advocating in the famous Lawrence v. Texas case. Lawrence v. Texas is a case that occurred just a... Excuse me, it wasn't Lawrence v. Texas, was it? It was the Colorado case. Is that right, Pam?
Romer.
It was Romer. Okay, excuse me. Romer v. Evans. Let me get my facts right here. I corrected myself. Thank you, Pam. Romer v. Evans was a case back in the 1990s where Colorado passed an amendment called Amendment 2 to the state constitution. There were local cities like Boulder and Denver in Colorado that had said that you can't discriminate against someone just because they're gay. You can't fire them or deny them housing rights. And yet some radical religious fundamentalists in Colorado had passed a statewide proposition, amendment to the Constitution, in fact, that said, in effect, that when it comes to gay rights, the people can't treat gays equally. They're required not to be able to treat them equally. And the case came to the United States Supreme Court to see whether it would violate the Equal Protection Clause of the Constitution. And John Roberts helped prepare the lawyers fighting for gay rights on that cause by giving them the kinds of things that Justice Scalia or Justice Rehnquist, the conservative justices, might say, and help them prepare the case. And so he actually helped, in that particular case, gay rights advocates. And so some gay people are saying, well, we should take a wait-and-see attitude on Judge Roberts. But Stonewall's come out full square against him. I know, Pam, that you're active with Stonewall. Tell us, why did they make that decision?
Well,
it was based on his full record that we have so far. Unless John Roberts 100% disavows what he has already put in writing, I don't see how any group with any feelings towards civil rights or the rights of protections for women to be free in their choice concerning their bodies, how any group could actually come out in support of him. And the reason is, for example, at the Reagan Library, there were 58,000 pages that were available. Not only that, but of course, we've received the Department of Justice pages and reports and briefs that he had prepared while he was before his tenure in the White House. Unless he completely disavows those opinions when he believes that basically abortion is something that should not be protected as a fundamental right, since he believes that basically the right to privacy is not an enumerated right in the Constitution subject to 14th Amendment protections, I don't know how any group could come out in favor of this person nominated, and you said actually appointed before, Mark, so nominated to the Supreme Court.
Thank you. Yes, he has not been appointed yet. He has been nominated. He was appointed to the District Court of District of Columbia. Well, let's divide this up a bit.
Sure.
Because, you know, I understand that a lot of civil rights groups stick together. Gay rights groups stick up to African-American groups, stick up for women's groups. There's no question that he personally is opposed to abortion. In fact, his wife is was the head of Feminists for Life. On abortion, he has said, as far as I understand it, he said when he was being nominated for the district for the circuit court in the District of Columbia, he said that he would follow settled precedent. Of course, as you know, Pam, but our listeners might not know, when you're an appellate judge, you have to follow settled precedent. You have no choice because the Supreme Court can overturn you if you don't. As a Supreme Court judge, he wouldn't have to follow settled precedent, but. Let's talk about that. Do we know for a fact that Judge Roberts advocates overturning Roe v. Wade, for example?
And again, unless he 100% disavows his, there are at least, I believe, five memos that I can point to where he basically calls abortion something that's fundamentally wrong, that he actually, in his own voice, again, says that it's not actually entitled to the 14th Amendment privacy rights constitutional protections, since he says that at the most, abortion and other civil rights issues are only, and you have to listen to his language, Mark. People, please pay attention to this. What he uses, he disguises his language. What he says is it might be a basic right. Well, most people don't know constitutional interpretation. When you say something that's just a basic right, in his own mind, that means that it's not subject to the strictest scrutiny and the protections. He says that it's not a fundamental right. The ones that get the constitutional protection are the fundamental rights, and that's why I'm so convinced that he will not uphold a woman's right to choose. He will not uphold our privacy rights as gays and lesbians, also, of course, upon which the Lawrence versus Texas decision was determined by Justice, that the opinion heavily relied on privacy rights as written by Justice Kennedy. I unless he disavows these things and does a 180-degree turn, and the dead giveaway will be when he refuses to answer the questions, because then we say, well, then you're relying on your writings from the 1980s, aren't you?
Pam, I want you to hold on for me. We have to take another break, but when we come back, I can tell you, I definitely am going to focus on this nomination. I'm going to be playing a lot of live clips from them for our listeners. But I think Pam raises some good points. If he refuses to answer questions, why shouldn't we look at his record to understand what his positions are? If you want to call in, the toll-free number is 877-528-TALK, 877-528-8255. We'll be right back after this.
Truckers keep America on the move, and lots of times it's chiropractors who keep truckers going. Here's a benefits card for truckers with discounts of 30 to 50% from a network of thousands of doctors of chiropractic in cities and towns all across America. This same card provides savings up to 60% from dentists at home and on the road. For $11.95 a month for individuals and $19.95 for your whole family, besides savings on chiropractors and dentists, there are similar savings on prescriptions and optical services at home and on the road. Got to get braces for the kids? Why not save 50%? This isn't insurance. These are instant savings with no paperwork to fill out. Truckers are important to us, and the whole point of truckersbenefits.com. Get online now. Go to www.truckersbenefits.com for the whole story. If you're on the road, phone home and tell them to check out truckersbenefits.com from just $11.95 per month.
The legacy of the great communicator lives on in his accomplishments and his spoken word. And now you can own a treasury of the great speeches of Ronald Wilson Reagan on DVD. We're offering 12 memorable speeches from Ronald Reagan's remarkable presidency, starting with his nomination speech all the way to his farewell to the nation in 1988. Included is his memorable speech at the Berlin Wall.
Mr. Gorbachev, tear down this wall.
This DVD collection in full color is the best way to remember Ronald Reagan and share his wit, charm, and the clarity of his challenge to all Americans. Order the stirring collection of Reagan speeches for just $19.95 plus shipping and handling. Go to www.reagancollection.com.
Order online or by mail at the address reagancollection.com.
From Washington, more of the Inside Scoop with Mark Levine.
Welcome back to the Inside Scoop and the Sunday Weekly Review. We're talking about the nomination of Judge Roberts, but we've also been talking about Iraq, Social Security, student loans, really everything you want to talk about. If you want to talk about why Pat Robertson wants to assassinate Hugo Chavez, that's up for grabs too. Toll-free number, 877-528-TALK, 877-528-8255. I got a caller on the line who's quite knowledgeable about John Roberts. She's been studying his writings, in fact, in the Reagan Library. Her name is Pam, and she's on the line. And Pam, I want to ask the question. I know that groups stick together, that there's a coalition, if you will, in the Democratic Party of African Americans and women's groups and labor and so forth. But I guess I have to ask, Stonewall is a gay rights organization. What do you think about the fact that he was helpful in the Romer v. Evans case, the case that overturned Colorado's anti-gay amendment 2? Does that mean that maybe he's not as bad for gay people as some might fear?
Absolutely not. To me, that was a smokescreen, or as we say in the legal profession, a red herring. I actually think, and I haven't been able to confirm this, but I think that story, the White House realized that things were going south a little bit in terms of negative publicity because of his writings being exposed. I think that they actually maybe hinted around that somebody ought to do that story. So the Los Angeles Times jumped on the story, and in fact, it made me even It made me do twice as much research because I wanted to figure out, well, what the heck is this about? And then I sat back and realized, oh, my gosh, you know what the man was doing, reading the details of this case. He was sitting in the mine using the arguments of Rehnquist and Scalia. There was no stretch at all in terms of his position.
So, in other words, he was arguing.
What better person to actually prepare somebody for questions of Rehnquist and Scalia and Thomas than a person who actually feels the same way as they do, with a very conservative view of the law, not giving them any rights? There was no better suited person to do that.
So, in other words, he was, I guess, enjoying the intellectual challenge of perhaps stating his own views.
You bet, and no doubt, there's absolutely no doubt, this man is brilliant. He's actually one of the most brilliant lawyers that I've ever read. writing some, but, you know, that doesn't make him right on the issues. It just makes him right, meaning far right on the law.
Let me ask you one more question, then I've got to move on to another caller. But you mentioned civil rights in general. I know that in the early Reagan administration, there's a lot of writings from John Roberts on the extension of the Voting Rights Act, the 1964 or 5 acts that frankly gave African Americans the right to vote that they were supposed to be guaranteed in the Constitution, but Jim Crow laws in the South prevented them from using. What do you know about John Roberts on the Voting Rights Act?
Okay. Well, I can tell you, for example, I saw on the very day that the very large document production actually happened, I saw a memo on war powers, and then the very next memo was a memo actually dealing with an incident that happened down south to African Americans, where they had been denied their right to vote in a particular state. And it was clearly documented, and people were complaining about it. And what did John Roberts do? He said in response in that memo, basically, forget about it. We shouldn't do anything. Look the other way. Ignore it. That's a warning sign.
Now, do you have copies of these memos? I mean, I would think the Los Angeles Times would want to print that one.
The Los Angeles Times has full access to these memos, as does everyone else. All you have to do is go to the Reagan Library. And 3,800 pages of his memos, by the way, in addition to the Department of Justice memos, are online. If you go to the Ronald Reagan Library website, you will be able to access 3,800 pages. If you go to the National Archives website, the National Archives website, you'll actually be able to access his Department of Justice paper. So, you know, the people can start looking at these things independently and seeing what his opinions are.
Well, Pam, you're
not only that, but the People for the American Way have actually, they put together a very good report, actually citing cases with these, especially his opinions on civil rights violations, on voting rights violations,
Pam,
his opinions on the Voting Rights Act.
We have to take another break, but you are far more well-informed than most of my callers, which is terrific. If you could please do me a favor and post some of these links on my website at radioinsidescoop.com, then all of us will be able to examine them. And I want to thank you so much for your call. We'll be right back with your calls, 877-528-TALK, after this.
This is Newsbreak. Hurricane Katrina could be the fourth hurricane in history to make landfall as a Category 5 storm. The National Hurricane Center in Miami says Katrina's maximum sustained winds are currently at 165 miles an hour with higher gusts. That makes it a Category 5 hurricane. As of 5 p.m. Eastern Time, the eye of Katrina was located about 150 miles south of the mouth of the Mississippi River. Hurricane Katrina most likely to impact the price of gasoline in the U.S. Dennis O'Brien, the director of the Institute of Energy Economics and Policy at the University of Oklahoma, says he expects the price of gas to climb 30 to 40 cents in the coming days, and he predicts the price of crude oil could top $80 a barrel. President Bush applauding leaders in Iraq today for drafting a new constitution. He made his comments from his ranch in Crawford, Texas. More news at USARadio.com. I'm Jackie Wright.
The following from News Broadcast Network. HPShopping.com, Hewlett-Packard's online consumer store, offers an academic purchase program for qualifying students. The APP site offers those students a complete line of HP home and dorm room necessities, including new, refurbished, customized, and hard-to-find products. New and returning college students can register for the APP discount at www.hpshopping.com/education. I'm Lee Shepard. The new Yahoo Messenger with voice service launches its Talk to Win sweepstakes August 15th. Frazier Miller is director of Yahoo Messenger.
We want to help people around the world communicate more often using the free, high-quality PC-to-PC calling in Yahoo Messenger with voice.
The sweepstakes ends September 5th. To find out more about Yahoo Messenger with voice, go to messenger.yahoo.com. I'm Lee Shepard.
I'm Terry Graydon with our daily update from the People's Pharmacy on the TalkStar Radio Network.
Can you really be scared to death? Scientists at Johns Hopkins have figured out how sudden emotional turmoil can lead to heart failure.
They studied 19 previously healthy patients who developed chest pain or symptoms of heart failure after bad news or emotional trauma. Even a surprise party can trigger this potentially deadly reaction. The researchers found that these patients had high levels of stress hormones and associated neurochemicals circulating in their bloodstream. None of the women who were studied actually suffered a heart attack. The stress-induced cardiomyopathy they experienced has been nicknamed broken heart syndrome. Without immediate supportive treatment, some of these patients would likely have died, but with medical support, they recovered within a few weeks. This is Joe Graydon and the People's Pharmacy on the TalkStar Radio Network.
From Washington, back to the Inside Scoop with Mark Levine.
Welcome back to the Inside Scoop. Just had a great conversation with a caller, Pam from Los Angeles, on John Roberts. She's promised to post some links on my blog at radioinsidescoop.com demonstrating what she's talking about. And I promise you, as my listeners, that I'm going to follow the Roberts nomination and his confirmation hearings very carefully. I'll be playing a lot of them and giving my commentary on them. This is the Sunday Weekly Review. All topics are valid. We've talked about Iraq, student loans. We've talked about John Roberts. One thing I want to bring up, and then I'll get back to your calls, is Pat Robertson. Now, Pat Robertson is, he's with the Christian Broadcasting Network. He's one of the leading Christian minister commentators. You know, I never know how these people are chosen. I mean, Jerry Falwell, Pat Robertson, are they self-chosen? I mean, I know he ran for president, but I'm not clear why we have to hear from ministers like Pat Robertson, but we don't hear from, for example, liberal Christian ministers. But in any case, Pat Robertson, as you probably know by now, called for the assassination of Venezuelan President Hugo Chavez. Now, you know, Hugo Chavez is not my favorite person in the world. He's not Saddam Hussein, but he's clearly got some problems, if you will. Venezuela has a lot of oil. And Robertson says, well, let's just take him out. In fact, he says, quote, if he thinks that we're trying to assassinate him, I think that we really ought to go ahead and do it, unquote. Now, when you're going and assassinating people who, by the way, there's no, you know, world resolution or UN resolution, there's no civil war in Venezuela trying to overtake this guy. It's just a guy that, we don't like very much. And it just seems to me that we have enough problems abroad without calling for the assassination of another leader. And what makes this most interesting is that Pat Robertson and all these Christian leaders claim to speak really in the name of Jesus. In fact, Pat Robertson will tell you that he speaks directly with Jesus. And yet, has anyone forgotten that Jesus of Nazareth was a pacifist? I mean, I'm not a pacifist, but if there's anyone who preached peace, it was Jesus. And yet, you have people like Pat Robertson in his name calling for assassination. And I would like to see, just once, a good liberal Christian minister or another say, you know, Pat Robertson, you don't speak for us. I'd really like to see that, and I hope we can. Toll-free number, 877-528-TALK, 877-528-8255. I've got one of my favorite callers on the line, Mike from Los Angeles. Mike, welcome to the Inside Scoop.
Hey, Mark. Good to talk to you.
What's up with you today?
Well, you know, it's an interesting insight. I wasn't going to talk about Pat Robertson, but it's funny how we are constantly criticizing Islam because they don't come out and do self-correction. Yeah, you're absolutely right. I haven't heard a single Christian leader come out and condemn Pat Robertson's stance. So it's a good point.
Well, and, you know, and I have to say, and there's certainly many Islamic leaders that are not correcting. In fact, there's, of course, just a recent suicide attack in Beersheba, Israel. Here, Israel's withdrawn from Gaza, and the attacks are continuing. If I were Sharon, I'd say, all right, that's it, nothing more. But there are some Islamic groups that are coming out against terrorism. You have the Council for American Islamic Relations, and at least they're calling publicly against terrorism, whether they really mean it or not, we can argue about. But Christian leaders need to tell Pat Robertson to back off, and I hope they will. But you got something else on your mind you said you wanted to talk about.
Well, nothing specific. I mean, I was listening with great interest to your conversation about John Roberts.
Yeah.
And I'm a bit of a contrarian on that just because, I mean, my feeling about him is that he could be a whole lot worse. number one. Number two, he's not Borg. He's not an ideologue, and at least not a diehard ideologue, and therefore he comes across as reasonable. And we're not going to defeat him.
Well, I've kept an open mind on Roberts. I have from the outset. I certainly plan to close my mind after the confirmation hearings. I think the hearings will be very important. And I'm going to read those memos that Pam's going to post. And I will definitely listen very closely to the nomination hearings. And I'll be listening to see whether this is a guy who's very open and honest and talking about his judicial philosophy, or is this a guy who seems to be hiding the ball. But, I mean, I agree with you, Mike. He's not Bork. He's not someone who has advocated some of the worst positions and really some crazy positions. I mean, Bob Bork felt that the Voting Rights Act, which allowed African Americans to vote, was unconstitutional. I mean, that's really, really a crazy reading of the Constitution, which specifically says that black people have a right to vote, the 15th Amendment, and then you have a federal law that allows them to vote in the South, and Bork was against it. I mean, that's crazy stuff, just like Janice Rogers Brown, who thinks that the New Deal is unconstitutional. He's not a wacko. He is a very intelligent man. He's not a wacko. But I do want to hear what he has to say. I mean, is he saying that he would overturn Roe v. Wade? If that's his plan, I think he needs to tell us about it. And so I don't know. I'm undecided on Roberts. I said, and I'll make a decision during the process.
Well, the problem is, I mean, I'm just hoping that the Democrats don't expend all their political capital on this one, because I think the much more important fight is going to be coming up, and that's when Rehnquist goes.
Right. Well, I don't think they have. I mean, I think the Democrats have pretty much held their fire.
At this point they've.
Which is good, because they
fire.
Well, no, but that's good. They shouldn't be knee-jerk. They shouldn't say, oh, well, you know, he worked for Reagan. He's therefore, you know, he was a secret member of the Federalist Society, therefore he's awful. But at the same time, you know, we'll hear what he has to say. And I just think that those nomination hearings are important. They really do matter, and I think they'll make a big difference in helping you decide. Tell me this, Mike. You heard what I said earlier. I don't know if you heard earlier in the program when I was talking about Iraq. Do you see the turning point that I was talking about? Do you see people who are moderates, independents, Republicans start to shake their head and wonder about the war in Iraq? Or am I just living in a liberal enclave?
I am starting to see it. I think they're seeing the futility of it. But I don't believe that the conservatives, even the ones who doubt the wisdom of our going into Iraq, are going to start advocating a wholesale pullout. I mean, because I think that a lot of people very much see the wisdom of Colin Powell's "you broke it, you bought it" statement, and that pulling out of there could be really catastrophic. I think a lot of people feel that way.
And, you know, that's the exact same thing they said about Vietnam. I mean, it's exactly the same thing. Way back in 1963, I've been doing my research on Vietnam. In 1963, people were saying, well, maybe we shouldn't have gone to Vietnam in the first place, but we have to finish what we started, otherwise the people will die in vain. Now, in 1963, about 100 Americans had been killed in Vietnam. 50,000 more were to die later. But people were saying, oh, well, you know, I don't know if it was wise, but we have to finish what we started. When does that argument end? When do people say, maybe we better get out before it gets worse?
Well, that's the question, Mark. I mean, and it's something that I struggle with, because I know that the minute we walk out the door, you're going to have an Islamic State that's going to make Iran look enlightened. I mean, the chaos will ensue, and it will be taken over by the extremists, and we're going to have a huge coagulated enemy over there.
Well,
however,
I couldn't,
in good conscience, send my son or my neighbor's son off to die for this. It's just a huge mess.
Well, I think you're right.
I
think we are headed for a theocracy. I think we are headed for a civil war. But the answer is, if U.S. troops stay there for 10 years fighting insurgents and then leave, and then we have a theocracy, and then we have a civil war, what have we accomplished for 10 years except more dead and wounded American servicemen and women? Stick on with me, Mike. If you want to call in, it's 877-528-TALK, 877-528-8255, or you can comment on the blog at RadioInsideScoop.com. We'll be right back after this.
I'm sure you've heard the saying, when you get to the end of your rope, tie a knot in it and hang on. Margie Garrison was at the end of her rope. At the young age of 28, she was told she would be in a wheelchair in about 5 years. And then, when she just couldn't go on any longer, she met a doctor who said to her, "Margie, arthritis is the easiest disease there is to cure." Now, can you imagine Margie's joy after 43 years and thousands of dollars of doctor bills and pain medications that didn't work? Learn the whole story online at healthstarproducts.com. That's H-E-A-L-T-H, healthstarproducts.com. It's guaranteed or your money back, and you have a full year to decide. Look it up online for yourself at HealthStar, H-E-A-L-T-H, HealthStarProducts.com, and find out if what worked for Margie Garrison will work for you. They're always talking about the number of people without health insurance, but what about those without dental coverage? If you're self-employed, retired, or your employer just doesn't provide dental insurance, there is an $11.95 a month solution that saves you up to 30, 50, and even 60% on dental services. And because this isn't insurance, there are no turndowns, no claim forms, no waiting periods, no runaround. And this nationwide program covers cleaning, restorations, and cosmetic dentistry. Get the whole story online. You don't have to talk to anyone if you don't want to. There's even a form to email to get a list of all the providers in your area. Go to www.1195dental.com. You type in the numbers 1195 followed by the word dental, D-E-N-T-A-L.com. 1195dental.com is here to help. And check out our low prices for family memberships.
From Washington, more of the Inside Scoop with Mark Levine.
Welcome back to the Inside Scoop. I'm your host, Mark Levine. It's a Sunday Weekly Review. The toll-free number is 877-528-TALK, 877-528-8255. Or you can comment on the blog at radioinsidescoop.com. I do have a comment from Vicky, one of my favorite conservative listeners who writes often on the blog. Sometime I'd like to see you call, Vicky. But Vicky writes, I can tell you, Mark, that there are conservative Christian leaders who would not support what Pat Robertson said, so you don't need to ask for a liberal Christian leader. Vicky, I appreciate your point. I'm glad you wrote on the blog. I'm very glad to hear that you don't support what Pat Robertson said, and I'm not surprised. I wouldn't think you would. But I'm going to ask you, I'm going to challenge you, Vicky, to go one step further. You can call in or write it on the blog. Who are the conservative Christian leaders who have publicly stated they don't support what Pat Robertson said, who have publicly rebuked Pat Robertson? They may be out there, and if they are, I want to know who they are because I haven't heard from them. I'd love if you could post it on the blog or call in and let me know. Mike, before I finish up with you, is there anything else that you want to talk about?
Well, in terms of Iraq, I mean, I think the problem, and I'm not a military strategist by any means, but I think the problem here, I mean, there are some parallels to Vietnam. You know, as Mark Twain said, history doesn't necessarily repeat itself, but it certainly rhymes.
Yeah.
And what we're I think what's happening is the only way, history has shown us, I think the only way to really affect any fundamental change in another country is to go in, fully occupy it, and commit ourselves to a complete from the ground up change. And we're not willing
Germany
to do that,
and Japan.
Nor do I think we necessarily should. But you're right, we're going to fight a holding action, and it's going to be basically fingers in the dike for I don't know how many years, but you're right. I mean, the way they've drawn up the Constitution is clear. They're not, have no interest in democracy, at least no any sort of democracy that's useful to the rest of the world, and they want to do it a government completely based on Islam, and they can't even agree on what Islam is. So
right. So
I don't know the answer, Mark, to the truth.
Well, I think the answer is
I don't know the one on this one.
That those that are complaining if we leave, it leads to a theocracy and civil war. I say that's right. It will lead to theocracy and civil war, but you know, we broke it. It is now broken, and all we can do for the next 10 years is wait, forestall the same process of theocracy and civil war. And I think if we leave, they can move on with it and hopefully come to the relative success of a country like Vietnam, which calls itself communist but relies on the U.S. dollar and is actually doing quite well for a country in Southeast Asia. So I think that the sooner off we leave and let the Iraqis decide, and you know what? If they decide to have a civil war and split up into three countries, Kurdistan, Sunni Iraq, and Shiite Iraq, I say that's their choice. That's their decision. Let them do it. Let's stay out of it. Thanks for your call, Mike. I appreciate it. Let me go now to Michelle in Long Beach. Michelle, welcome to the Inside Scoop.
Hey, Mark. How are you?
I'm doing good.
Hey, listen, your caller previous I believe, to Mike.
Pam from Los Angeles.
Yeah, it was a Pam. Oh, boy, I don't remember. But she was talking on the nomination.
Right, on John Roberts. She was saying why she opposed him.
Right, and I kind of wanted to go a little bit deeper into the personal privacy issues.
Please,
of
go ahead.
Women.
Yeah.
And, you know, here in California, we have a special election coming up in November that our governor has pushed forward, and many people have taken advantage of it. Many extremists have taken advantage of it, and they've got a Proposition 73, and that is an initiative to give parental rights of over unemancipated minors.
In other words, if you got a 13-year-old girl who has sex or is raped, she can't decide whether to have a baby. Her parents decide.
Right, and to do any other means or to go about this in any other means, she would have to go in front of a judicial situation and ask for, you know, the choice.
I don't know. Most 13-year-olds I know wouldn't know how to file a petition in
right.
court. Many of them, frankly, are worrying about how to get a decent grade in school or how to get, you know, songs downloaded online. I mean, it's very, very hard, I think, to do that judicial bypass.
Well, and my reason, really, my basic reason for calling on this proposition is kind of what Pam was touching on. You know, what's the underlying motivation? And this proposition really kind of shows this motivation, because even though they present it to the public as being, you know, notification to the parents, well, of course, all parents want to feel that they're, you know, have this type of communication with their teenagers. But, you know, in all reality, we know that doesn't usually happen.
Michelle, is it notification or permission? I'm curious.
It is notification and permission.
Oh, so, okay.
So they have to get signatures from their a parent.
Now, is it one parent or two? I'm curious about that, too.
I believe it would, I believe it would have to be two. I'm not positive. If they're divorced, they have to have both the consent.
Because sometimes it's hard just to find a parent when there's a divorce.
Right.
You know, I mean, there are plenty of divorces where one parent's left the home and can't be tracked. So, I mean, I don't know the specifics of this law.
Right.
I do know, though, that Arnold Schwarzenegger is not the doesn't have the sheen on his governorship that he had two years ago when he was overwhelmingly popular. He seems pretty unpopular now in California.
Oh, yes. And, you know, what I wanted to give you about this proposition and what I suggest that other people in other states look at if they have such propositions, is if this is a constitutional amendment to California's constitution.
Yeah.
And in it, it states that an unborn child, it states the rights of the unborn child. So as soon as they get that into our constitution, as many will, understand that this, the communication, the wording of an abortion being the killing of an unborn child.
Right. No, it'll definitely have profound implications.
Right.
But, Michelle, California is definitely a blue state. It is definitely a pro-choice state. How could this amendment even have a chance of passing?
Well, we have three men, one of which is the owner, CEO of Domino's, that pushed this proposition via his money. And then there's another person, I believe, owns a paper in Southern California.
Have you seen polls on it, though? Because
yes.
I mean, I can't imagine that this thing would have a chance of passing.
You know what? It's doing well because it's all under the guides of, you know, parent notification.
Interesting. So that's what they're focusing on.
And that's why I called up about it, and I suggested everyone look into propositions in their state when they come. They really need to understand the legalities and the wording.
They do.
Behind.
Michelle, we have to take another break. I'd like you to hang on for me. It's very interesting, these propositions. You know, I understand if you're a parent, you want to know if your daughter's having an abortion, but think back if you were 13 years old and you had sex and you were raped, would you tell your parents about it? We'll be right back.
Is the burden of large credit card debt getting too heavy for you to carry alone? Call Debt Relief of America. They are expert debt negotiators that go to work for you to eliminate 50 to 60% of your credit card debt.
Within 3 months, I was debt-free and the collection hassle stopped.
I was buried in debt with no way of knowing how I was going to get out. DRA worked with my creditors and cut my debt in half.
My wife and I both feel Debt Relief of America is a godsend.
Call now for your free debt relief consultation. There is absolutely no cost or obligation. You will get a step-by-step plan on how Debt Relief of America can help you wipe out up to 60% of your credit card bills. Call 800-509-5495. 800-509-5495. One call could literally save you thousands of dollars. Not available in all states. 800-509-5495. 800-509-5495.
Say, do you or a member of your family suffer from acne? Do you take prescription drugs and get little or no relief? Is your skin always dry and itching and peeling due to the side effects of chemicals and drugs? Do you have trouble looking in the mirror and being happy with what you see? Do you avoid going out in the world due to your acne? Are you spending ridiculous amounts of money with little or no results? Well, you may find relief. Relief is available to most sufferers online at healthstarproducts.com. It's guaranteed, or you get your money back, and you've got 90 days to decide. Look it up for yourself online at HealthStar Products, H-E-A-L-T-H, HealthStarProducts.com. Go to www.HealthStarProducts.com and find out about the acne program. Find out if it works for you or a member of your family. If it doesn't, you get your money back.
From Washington, back to the Inside Scoop with Mark Levine.
Welcome back to the Inside Scoop. Just a few minutes left in the Sunday Weekly Review. I'm talking with Michelle from Long Beach, and she raises a proposition in California that would require parental notification and permission for minors, for girls under 18, to get abortions. And I want you to think for a moment, not as a parent, but as a young, confused, scared child, and maybe you're 13, and maybe you're 15, and maybe you're 17, and maybe you've secretly had sex, maybe your parents didn't tell you about contraception, and you find yourself pregnant. Now, maybe a boyfriend, you know, I don't necessarily want to call it rape, but maybe he was more anxious to have sex than you wanted to. Try to think of a mind of a teenage girl. Now, some parents, I would venture to say most parents, have the kind of relationship with their teenagers that they could discuss it, they could have a long talk about it, and they could make the right decision, whether that decision is to have an abortion or whether that decision is to have a baby. I would venture to say I would hope and pray that most girls in that situation could talk with their parents and they could make a joint decision. But this legislation is not for most situations. It is not for cases when girls feel comfortable talking to their parents. In all those cases, this legislation doesn't apply. Remember, for the majority, again, hopefully it's a majority of teenage girls who'd be willing to talk to their parents about this, they don't need this legislation because the parents are notifying and giving permission anyway. This legislation is made for girls who have trouble talking to their parents. Perhaps they have a girl has conservative fundamentalist Christian parents who don't believe in an abortion and believe in forcing their daughter against her will to have a baby, even if it means dropping out of school and frankly ruining her life for years to come, even if she doesn't want it. Again, it only matters, this bill, in cases where the girl and the parents disagree with each other. And I just wanted to emphasize that. Michelle, you have the last word.
Oh, well, Mark, very true. And also the issue is their safety, teenagers' safety. I as a parent, and I have a young daughter, 11, if she couldn't come to me, I would want to know that she would have the safety net below her, that it would be a facility that is medically advised and that she would have people that were compassionate and understanding of her situation if she didn't feel, God forbid, comfortable with coming to me. And, you know, what's amazing, Mark, is that this proposition has been backed by three men. James Holmes, who's a millionaire and owns a paper, he produces Los Angeles Missions, San Francisco Faith, and San Diego News. Don Sebastiani, who's a used to be a state assemblyman. He's owns a vineyard. And then, like I said, Tom Monifan.
Yeah, I wouldn't focus on the fact that they're men, because there are women that are pro-life and women that are pro-choice.
Well,
and, you know, that. I mean,
understood.
I'm pro-choice, I'm a man, so it's not that they're men. I would go right to them. I'll tell you, Michelle, and I don't mean to pick on you because you're a great listener, but sometimes when Republicans criticize, like Cindy Sheehan, they attack her instead of attacking what she said, which is, why are we fighting in Iraq? I'd much rather attack the proposition itself than the guys that are behind it. Is that fair?
Well, understood, Mark. The fact is though, I'm a female, and I'm also a mother with a female. And for me, as a female, mind you, I make 75 cents to every dollar a man makes.
Yeah.
Correct? My point is these men are quite wealthy.
Yeah. Well, they are putting a lot of money behind it.
And for me to fight the word, this proposition, this, you know, obviously misleading proposition.
I hear you, Michelle. I'm afraid that's all the time we have, though. Thank you very much for your call, and we'll be